We've been looking at the epistle of St. Peter, the second epistle, and just the first chapter, not really a Bible study, but just devotional thoughts from it. Tuesday, I mentioned to you about escaping the downward spiral, because that's what Peter mentions to these Christians that have been scattered abroad, who have found Jesus Christ as the Messiah. The Messiah had come, and they knew it, and the word was backed by signs and wonders, and they embraced Jesus Christ and were transformed. But the persecution came, and things became convoluted, and they were chased out. That's what happens that we see in the first epistle of Peter. And then we find that Peter says, you know, there's a corruption in the world. It's a downward spiral. He says this: these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires, that downward spiral. He mentions two things. We have a precious faith. I can't remind you enough about how precious, how valuable that word really in the Greek is, valuable, how valuable this faith is. You don't need to measure it. It's not something you own. It comes from heaven. And that's how it belongs to you. But it's precious. The second thing he mentions in that first part of 2 Peter is precious promises. We've been given promises by God. I like the way children always want you to promise, right? You promise? You can tell them absolutely, like, we're going to do this, we're going to go here, and it doesn't mean a thing until you use that word. You promise? I like to remind us, a promise isn't immediate all the time. But it's coming, it's going to happen, it's been done. And I remind us again, we need to act upon those promises by faith. A precious faith that believes the precious promises. The next day, we talked about one step up and two steps back. Because life can get like that, even on a narrow way for us. Whether it's out there in the business world, the family world, the secular world, sometimes progress is hard. And sometimes on the narrow way, progress can be hard too. And you find yourself sometimes, well, I think I've moved forward, and it feels like you've really made two steps backwards. And Peter knows the dirty ways of the world and what was happening. And he tells the people in his letter, he says, there's a way to counter that by adding to your faith. I reminded you, the world will add to you every day. Stress, what's on the movies, TV, the influences, it's out there, isn't it, folks? We as children of God, we know it, we recognize it, and sometimes, I dare say, you dabble in it. And Peter says there's a way to fight the downward spiral of the corruption of this world, and that's by constantly adding to your faith. Ask yourself, as I ask myself, how good am I at adding to my faith? He says, if you're going to do this, it's going to need some diligence. And remember I gave you the illustration of the recreational program where you didn't have to try out. You could be on the team. That's grace. You're on the team. That's good. But part of the things that we had to do if you were going to be on the team was you had to attend practices. Be there for practice. Same thing with the Lord. It's His grace that ushers us in, but we need to practice our faith. Practice the presence of God. Practice the things that we've been taught. Don't neglect them. He says, be diligent about it. And then I mentioned to us, as Peter says, own it. Own it. Can't be your parents' religion. It can't be your church's faith. It has to be yours. You need to have ownership of it. Therefore, brethren, Peter wrote, be more diligent. He actually said, be even more diligent. That's so important. Let me just name the list that Peter gives. Peter said, add to your faith virtue or courage, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. He ends with love. Love is such an important part of the church. Why? Because we're all different. We come from different, we have different stories and different backgrounds. Now, we have different opinions, right? Boy, do we have different opinions about everything. But the priestly prayer in John 17 was that we would be one. That takes adding to your faith to be one. Well, today I've given the portion of 2 Peter. We're looking at verses 12 to 15. If you want to turn to it, either on your Bible or on your phone, your iPad, or if you brought your laptop. This is the modern day, right? 12 to 15. And the title I gave it is, Lord, don't let me forget to remember. Lord, don't let me forget to remember. Because that's what we do, right? Memory is a gift, but it's a curse. Memory is a gift and it's a curse. I want to tell you a story, a true story that happened. A friend of mine, Phil, wanted to get some sheetrock, but I didn't have the church van and he didn't have a van. He had a small blue old Honda Civic. And he said, we're going to tie the sheetrock to the roof of the car. You've seen that before, right? If you go to Home Depot, there's always somebody that you probably laughed at tying sheetrock to the top. And that's, we said, we'll just strap it down. It'll be okay. It'll be, you know, it'll be good. So we bought some sheetrock and we came back out, but he forgot where he parked. So here were two guys, a tall guy, because it wasn't Pastor Phil Waffogel, it was his cousin, Phil Waffogel. And he was like, oh, I don't know where my car is. That's how he talked. I don't know where we are. I don't know. And we pushed the sheetrock all over till we finally found the blue Honda. And we got that, you know, we loaded up. I think it must have been four sheets of sheetrock on top of this small little blue Honda Civic. And he was ready to strap it down, but we couldn't get the doors open. So we're pulling and pulling, and he's reaching out, oh, I got my keys. The key didn't work because it wasn't his car. And we had four pieces of sheetrock on someone else's car. Well, you want to see two guys scramble so moving quick, get to the sheetrock off the car. Sometimes memory is a gift, and we did not have it that day. Sometimes it's a curse. Well, what do I mean by sometimes it's a memory and sometimes it's a curse? Well, the truth of that is, oh, you know, let me throw in one other thing. Have any of you ever made a bunch of passwords for your computer? Let me just give you, write them down. Write them down. Because look at the, don't lose where you rip. I got sheets and sheets of paper in my one desk, and they're all passwords. Everybody struggles with that. But the truth is that we are the products of what we remember. We live a good portion, if not most of our lives, in our minds. And we're a product of what we remember. I'll give you two examples. When I was very young, I was starting a new grammar school. I have a bit of a speech impediment and still do sometimes. I make up words. And I'll never forget, I think I was just first grade, and I said, them. And one kid got a hold of that, and he was like, he got his friends to come over and said, say that word again. I said, what word? He said, them. And you know how it goes. I was like, them? See how he says it? Do you know it was the longest time for me to get over that. See how your memory works? Now, you might have had something even greater. I'm giving you one that goes way back. you know, because in my future was public speaking. Oh, God is so much fun. But you remember that. That's the negative side. The positive side is many years later, a good brother, and it happened up here at camp, came up to me and said, when I was just a pot boy, didn't testify. The only thing I had going for me, I did not sit in the green chairs. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, came up to me after the meeting, a precious brother, and said, you know, I don't know what it is. I sense God has a call on your life. And like I said, I was a pop boy, had no, I wasn't, never testified, I hardly sang. And this brother, this minister says, I think God has a call on your life. That stuck with me. So the negative and the positive become part of our lives through our memory. So memories are so important. What we remember matters. I believe that's why Scripture, throughout Scripture, in the Old or the New Testament, God is always saying, remember, isn't that so? Remember, remember, remember. And then God would say, there are things that you need to remember on the narrow way. How about the Israelites with Passover? How important that was. Don't forget. Every year celebrate how I freed you, how I got you out of Egypt, how with the strong arm of God, I brought you out. Were you brought out of this world with the strong arm of God? Yes. You know, you've got to thank God for that and give him praise. The Last Supper, Jesus said, and I remind the folks at home, we never just take communion, but we remember. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And our sister had us sing that chorus about the blood of Christ. Never loses its power. The Apostle Paul was constantly reminding in his epistles about the grace of Jesus Christ. Free from the law. Free from having a heart that just has to be constrained to a heart that's free because heaven has breathed into it. And he reminds them constantly in his epistles about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, what do you use to remind yourself of something? Everybody has a unique technique. Does anybody want to share something? Maybe you don't.
My wife.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Amen, brother.
My daughters. Yeah.
What did somebody say?
My daughters.
Oh, your children.
Yeah. Three daughters, and one of them is going to remember to remind me, so I would tell
yes.
them.
Yes. There, yes.
Also, this reminder on your phone, that's a big thing.
The reminder on your phone? I ignore that thing constantly. I'll say, oh, I need to remember this. Deep, beep, boop, and deep, beep, boop. That's me putting it in the phone. And then it'll be like, it'll pop up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the reminder. That doesn't help. You know, look at it, there's other guilty people here. Yeah. Do you know what I learned years ago? Because it's trivia, but it's fascinating. Some of you may not even recall this or remember this, but years ago, the pioneers would put a ribbon on their finger. And they, a bow. You know, a bow on, not a ring, but a bow on their finger to remind them. And I often wondered, what's the connection? Well, the connection came from God's promise to Noah, when I see the bow, I'll remember. That's a cool thing to do. Let's reestablish that. But I like the story about the old couple. There was this older couple who they were realizing that they were losing their memory. They weren't as sharp as they used to be. And they said, we better go see a doctor. So they go see a doctor, and they said, you got to help us because we're forgetting all the time. And the doctor says, you know, the best thing for you to do is write things down. Write it down. This way you'll have it. And that's the best practical way to help you if you have your poor memory. So they said, oh, that's a great idea. And they went home encouraged and excited about getting some help. So they went home, and the wife said, sweetheart, would you go to the kitchen and get me some ice cream. And he said, absolutely. And she said, you better write it down. And he said, I don't need to write it down to get you a bowl of ice cream. All right. And he went in the kitchen. And she yelled, honey, put some whipped cream on the ice cream. But you better write it down. And he stuck his head out of the door and said, I don't need to write it down that you want ice cream with whipped cream on it. Let's be practical about this. All right. And then she said, honey, I want a cherry on that ice cream. Write it down. And he said, I don't need to write it down. He yelled back, you want ice cream with whipped cream on it? And what?
Cherry.
Your memory's good. A memory, right? And a cherry on it. Well, he's in the kitchen for a real long time. And she's wondering, where are you? Honey, did you remember? Did you write it down? Well, he finally comes out with bacon and eggs. And she says to him, where's the salt and the ketchup? All right, I like that one. Well, that's how memory works, right? Where am I going with this? In this portion of scripture that we're going to read, from 12 to 15 of 2 Peter 1, Peter is wanting to remind them because he knows how we are with our memory. And he wants to remind them. So Peter says there, and let's read it if you have it, in verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of the things though you know and are established in the present truth. Did you see what Peter said here? I know you know this. I know you know this. But I'm going to constantly remind you is what he just said in verse 12. 13, yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Don't you just love Peter? Don't you just sense the man? I'm going to remind you. You need reminding. He says in 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Wow, what a wonderful disciple. I know I'm going to depart, but I want you to remember. I need you to remember. I'm going to make sure you remember. And that's what he does. Well, the first three things I want to share with us this morning. Number one, God likes us to have reminders. If you study the Old Testament right to the New Testament, you'll find that God has set up ways to remind us of the things of God. Remind us to look up. Remind us to pray. Remind us to see things from God's perspective. He set up things. I could give you a bunch from the Old Testament. I'm only going to give you a few. Exodus 17:14, the Amalekites. The Amalekites who attacked Israel as soon as they got out of Egypt and were set free. They were the ones who, for no reason at all, attacked them. That the Israelites were no threat to them, if you recall that in the Old Testament. And we read in Exodus 17:14, listen to what Moses says. Now this is after the victory when Aaron and Hur had to hold up Moses' hands to beat the Amalekites. And they won, and Joshua won that battle with the men of Israel. Listen to this. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Concentrate on this. This is powerful. I love this so much. Let me read it to you one more time. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, I want you to write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder And I want you to, can you see this? Read it aloud to Joshua. Read it aloud to him. What? I will cease, I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. God wanted Joshua to remember to forget. Isn't that what he was saying? He was saying, remind him that I'm going to erase the memory of Abimelech, excuse me. Isn't that something, though? I looked at that and I said, that's what we need. Because in our past there have been hurts. In our past there's been disappointments. In our past there have been failures. And God wants us to remember to forget, because he's taken care of the Amalekites. He's made a promise. And that's such a good thing to do. You're never going to just all of a sudden get amnesia about your past. But the enemy likes to capitalize on it. But those things are dead. And now they become just memorials of what God has done and kept you from and saved you. And I like the fact that Moses got a hold of Joshua and said, I got to read something God told me. God wants you to remember to forget those guys, because he's going to take care of them. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Do you want God to help you to remember to forget the things in your past? Thank God for that. Another case of this was Joshua 4, when they were crossing the Jordan. What a wonderful story this is. Let me read it to you. Joshua 4, 4 through 7. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. Must have been a big stone, right? Pretty big stone. And carry that out on your shoulders, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Verse 7. Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So important. Can you just picture those stones, that memorial? Can you picture the next generation saying, what's this all about? What is this? And Moses said, You tell them. I put it down this way. God wants you to remember what you've passed through, what he's brought you through. We sang it, remember the pit that he brought you out of. Remember that. It's a memorial in your heart and your life. No matter how small or how great, remember what God has helped you and brought you through. Thank God for that. Because why? Because the future's going to ask about your past. The future's going to question about your past. Even this morning, I've asked those who were in rebellion if you could raise your hand. And I mentioned how we need to hear that. And thank you, Pastor Joe, for sharing that. I know it's emotional. It's not always easy to do that. But we need to hear that. Because we have children out there. We have relatives out there that seem to be somewhat rebellious, that God can bring in. Why? Because he did it for our dear brothers and sisters here. Thank God for that. The second thing I want to bring to your attention is thank God for people that do remind you. Thank God for the people that do remind you. I'll share quickly. When I came to live here with the Gardeners and learn under them, be tutored under them, I'll never forget that the Reverend Gardner, one wintry day, and boy, we got winters up here. And how many have been up here during the winter? It's beautiful, but it's treacherous. I mean, there's a lot of ice and snow. And I heard a knock on my door. I lived over where in Mercy, where the nurse's place is, and the one room we called the box, I called it the coffin, because it had wood on wood ceiling, wood walls, wood everything. I'd open my eyes in the morning and say, "Oh, thank God, I'm still alive," you know, because it was like a coffin. But I loved that room. That was my very first room. But there came a knock, and I thought it might have been one of the brothers, like Tom, or, you know, or somebody. And it was Reverend Gardner. He had one of them Russian hats on. I can't even describe it to you. I've never wanted one. And I was, when I opened the door, I was like, oh my goodness. I told you, I revered the man. He walked with God. He could see through walls. You know? And he said to me, and forgive me for imitating him, but it's so bred in me. He just said, well, let's go for a walk. The last thing on earth I wanted to do was to go for a walk with this man who could hardly walk on dry ground, and let alone on ice. And down. So we walked down the road here. God bless him, that he would even care. And we walked, and then he asked me that question. He asked me a couple questions. He said, and he was asking as a reminder, "Well, Keith, what time do you get up?" When you knocked on the door. You know, I was thinking, well, I was trying... I said, I never really looked at the clock. I reveal myself too much. And then he said to me, "Well, do you have your devotions? Do before you, you know?" And I was like, "Well, we have worship as soon as we get over, right after breakfast." I was thinking this in my head, you know. And I was thinking too, Keith, don't lie. Don't lie. You know, you'll be found out. And I said, well, the best I could do is say sometimes. But then he asked me this, and I'll get to the point. Have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? As cold as it was that day, I was feeling heat. Because I knew I hadn't, because I really never even was seeking the Holy Spirit. And I said, no. Well, let me tell you what happened after that. Every time Brother Gordon Gardner or Sister Caroline saw me or we were in a meeting, you know what they were praying and reminding me of? Can you guess? Lord, help Keith to seek you for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Keith, you can have the blessing of God. Mm-hmm. They would remind me. And I needed that. I needed that. Reminder. Constant reminder, because I didn't have a good, diligent spirit to say, Lord, if you have this gift of the Holy Spirit, I want it. And they reminded me every day, Keith, seek the Holy Spirit. And you know, God heard that he helped me with that reminder. And I started just seeking the Lord, taking the time out. Why? It was kind of by restraint. I knew that he would ask me again, are you seeking the Lord? Are you looking forward to being just overflowed with the Holy Spirit? And so I started praying. And God, it was during a men's retreat that the Lord just came to me in such a mighty way. Thank God for people that get under your skin. Don't ever get mad at them. People that do remind you. And God will use different people in different ways to remind you. People you don't like will remind you. People you love will remind you. But really, it's all the Holy Spirit. Go after God. Remember, I often say that about church. The reason I think church is so important is because I'm a pastor and that's my job. No, because I know that you hear good things in church. You might get a lot of junk during the week, but when you come to church, you're going to hear from the Word of God, and you're going to be reminded. That's what it's about, isn't it? But I better close. Oh, let me just read this one thing. For this, the apostle writes in this chapter 1 of 2 Peter. He says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir up by reminding you. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure," in verse 15, "that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." And then I have a verse from 1 Corinthians 4. I might as well read it. "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ." Jesus said to remember him at communion. There's so much to remember. You know what's so good to do? If you really struggle with, and there's something that you know the Holy Spirit wants you to remember, make a plaque. Put it up on your wall. Put it on your refrigerator. Be practical about it. You know, God is not only spiritual, he's so practical. He gives us practical things. One time the Holy Spirit, through Sister Grace Schultheis, well, it was actually, was it our anniversary, Di? I can't remember.
Two days before our wedding.
See how I forget? She gave us a verse. What was the verse, Di? I'm testing your memory. Well, Numbers 11. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. That's what she gave us 2 days before our wedding. Well, you know what? That was by the Holy Spirit, and I knew it was. And I made a plaque, and I put that. I just made a plaque, and I don't know how I did it. I didn't paint it, but I think I used a wood burner, and I made that plaque. I put it up on the wall to remind us. We've been married 41 years, and we only had 2 fights in our whole life. We'll talk next week about lying. All right, one more thing, I'm going to let us go. I want to give you something today that God wants you to remember, okay? One thing. As I prayed over the lesson, there's so many things that we need to be reminded of. Isn't it true? On this narrow way, there's all kinds of road signs where God puts up and reminds us. He gives us people on the narrow way to remind us. And I can't give you everything. I want to give you one thing that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy. But it's so good for us. And I feel the Holy Spirit wanted this to remind us this morning of this one thing. He said this to Timothy, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you." Isn't that wonderful? There's a lot to that for Timothy, but that's for us today. I want to remind you to stir up the gift. Look, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've confessed your sins before him, and you realize the only way of salvation, this is just the foundation I'm giving us. The only way to salvation is that I know that the blood of Jesus, which never loses its power, right, sister? Never loses its power. That's how I am saved, and the life of Christ is in me now. Then you have received a great gift. Don't minimize it. Stir it up. Every meeting, sometimes you might come into a meeting and say, "Oh no, he's talking again." Or you might come into a meeting and say, "I don't care for that song." You might come into a meeting and it might be you're not even in the mood. You're blessed and you're patting yourself on the back because you just got there. Stir up the gift. Stir it up. Recognize it. Don't let the enemy squelch it, because he's so good at that. So sometimes I think the easiest way I find is when I'm not in the right maybe a bad disposition where it's just like, "Oh, where's my head at?" You know what helps me? And it's hard, but I get my hands up. Because I'm elevating my heart to him, and it's hard. And I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. I don't need. And then I start saying things like, "You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." That's stirring up the gift that's in you. It's not just charismatic calisthenics. that could fall into that. But this is a reality. Lifting up your holy hands and saying, here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. And God does that. Well, I see by the clock on the wall that it's time to sing the last verse of 476. So let's stand and let's sing that together. 476. Jesus. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, that you've not left us orphans. You've given us the Holy Spirit, and he reminds us. He brings to mind all of the things of heaven we need to know this side of heaven. Thank you. Help us to stay. Help us to stir up the gift that you've put in us, O Lord. We remember. We pray, Father, Lord, that we'll never forget how gracious you are, how kind you are, how merciful you are to us daily. No matter what the circumstance or situation, there's something that will not change, and that is the grace and mercy of God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Keep the camp under your blood, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.